You are Locked On Texans, your daily Houston Texans podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And that's where I learned about this podcast, and it's just my daily routine. I get up in the morning, Monday through Friday. I go to work, and every single morning on the way to work, I'm about 30 minutes away from work, so it's perfect. I can hear podcasts and on the way to and on the way back.
That was Joey Uribe talking about us in the last show. Oh, that was cool. If you missed it, he told us about his firsthand experience at Texans camp Saturday. And today's show, we'll look at the new and improved Lamar Miller, how Kareem Jackson is handling the move to safety, and Bill O'Brien praises one of his rookies. You don't hear that too often. Welcome aboard, everybody. I'm Robert Land from the Houston Sports Talk Podcast, along with my co-host, Brian Patterson from Fansided's HouseOfHouston.com. Thanks for diving in to Locked On Texans, your best daily source of Texans news, views, and interviews. And Texans news today in this show, seventh-round pick Jermaine Kelly on Tuesday passed his physical, was moved from the active PUP list to the active roster. So that is some good news. He's ready to go. Lamar Miller says he's down to 217 pounds, his lowest weight since his Miami Dolphins days. He says he's hoping to create a few more explosive plays this season after a disappointing year last year. So Brian, Lamar Miller said, I just started eating better. I changed my diet. I was trying not to eat too much carbs. I'm down to my playing weight in Miami, unquote. Hey, he says he feels quicker, Brian. What do you think?
I believe him, and he does need to improve upon that. Remember, we talked about it with Pro Football Focus in terms of explosive plays. He was ranked near the bottom. He was 28 out of 32 running backs that has explosiveness. Yes, Pro Football Focus measures that as well. So I'm pretty sure, you know, the coaches, they have some similar metric system that would pick up something like that. And so Lamar told himself, hey, I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to lose some weight so I can get quicker. And that way he's more valuable to us. I mean, you know, we have to have him. We need him. You know, all these rumors about the trade and everything, you know, it wasn't going to happen because still he's the best that we have right now at the moment until Deontay Foreman gets back. So that's good for him, and I hope he continues. I don't know if he's going to lose more, if he's right where he needs to be, but let's hope it shows out on the football field when the preseason starts.
Got to get him going, but, I mean, offensive line, if they could get their act together, would help. But it's going to help that Deshaun Watson's going to be the starting quarterback, and if he can stay healthy, I think that's going to help Lamar Miller's yardage. We shall see on that. One of the big storylines this year, Kareem Jackson moving from corner to safety. A huge transition for Kareem Jackson, although, you know, he's played there in the past. Let's hear what he has to say about that transition.
It's a challenge, but, you know, I mean, for me, I like to think of myself as being a smart player, but I mean, it's just, you know, instead of getting calls, you have to give the calls. You know, you have to get guys lined up. You have to give it to the calls to the corner, you know, the linebacker, you know, whoever's on your side of the field. You know, you have to get the guys lined up. So just seeing, you know, being able to see the whole field, whole formation and stuff like that, you know, I mean, that's definitely, you know, one of the biggest changes. You know, and being the last couple of years, being able to play the star position, I've had a chance to, you know, kind of see both sides and kind of took it upon myself to, you know, learn, you know, different positions, you know, and playing that spot because I have to know where I have help. I mean, I have to know I have run fit. You know, I have to know where the safety is in the corner also because pretty much in the middle of the field. So, you know, it kind of comes natural for me. That's one of the things that I take pride in, you know, with my game. You know, being able to play multiple positions, you know, being able to play corner, you know, the star spot, you know, now safety. For me, it's just, you know, about being versatile. You know, if I could be versatile, you know, I can help this team any way possible. You know, that's what I'm all for.
That was Kareem Jackson, and we knew he had to get in the magic word versatility in there at some point. But, Brian, it was interesting because he was asked if he was playing strong or free safety as well. He said, quote, we don't have a particular safety spot. We just play left and right safety. It's interesting, Brian, because the Texans haven't really seemed like that differentiation was there since OB and Romeo came to Houston. And maybe that's because the league is going that direction. But anything else catch your ear about what he said?
Yes. And he kept saying, you know, I used to play the star spot. I used to play the star spot. That rung a bell with me, saying that maybe he wasn't necessarily, you know, this was a transition that he was necessarily wanting to make, but knows that it's better for the sake of the team. I think he's a better corner than a safety, but we're about to see if he is certainly one of those guys. I wish somebody in the room would have asked, what do you think you play better at? Are you a better quarterback or are you a better safety? I know he probably would have towed the company line saying, you know,
yep,
I'm here, I'm versatile, I can do this, I can do that. But I really do think that he really wanted to be at the cornerback position, but he's been forced to make this transition because of all the guys we brought in. We brought in Aaron Colvin. Of course, you're going to have to move him out for Colvin. And so I think he's going to be fine as far as I would keep him here. You know, I believe Zuerlein was talking about trading him. He is definitely a valuable asset. You could get something for him. But I think we should keep Kareem Jackson here because purely for depth, because you never know. Like the season we had in 2017, you need every guy, healthy body available to help out. And he's not expensive, so you might as well keep him.
He's expensive, and then he makes $8 million, and he's probably not worth $8 million at this point in his career. I mean, do you think he is?
He's not overly expensive, so I think because he's, you know, he's got to show that he is versatile, so that way he's earning that money. But I think that with $8 million a year, we could have done a lot worse with that. But we'll have to see as far as how that turns out. I mean, they can always cut him, but I think there's value to Kareem Jackson. But just because you said about the $8 million, who knows? You know, no teams may want to pick him up until he's cut, so that way they can negotiate a lower deal.
The only thing you're going to get for him is going to be a late-round pick at this point in his career. Maybe he's worth a fifth-round pick. I don't know if you're desperate.
I would take a fifth-round pick.
Yeah, if you're desperate, maybe you could get a late fourth from a really good team that has some injuries or something like that. But I would say don't get rid of him unless
right. You're
going to spend that money somewhere else. You've got it earmarked for somewhere else, then maybe you do something with that. But otherwise, I don't see that happening. But Aaron Colvin, was a guy that was asked, Bill O'Brien was asked about. And Colvin, according to Bill O'Brien, he said he's going to play more inside than outside on the cornerback position. So it sounds like they're going to use him in the slot where he had so much success over the last few years, Brian, in Jacksonville specifically. Last year, he had a lot of success there. My feeling on that is that Kevin Johnson is going to be seeing a lot of playing time. And, I'm a little worried about that. Just a little.
Yeah, it's okay. But, you know, you got to ramp your guy up. You know, this is year number five for KJ. So, you know, we really have to see what he can do. He needs more playing time. I mean, if he screws up, I mean, we've got depth to cover that. But with the way he's performing in camp so far, you know, I have nothing but high hopes for him. I wish him the very best. I want him to do well. I think we all want him to do well because we invested a first round pick for him in 2015. So he's got to get the job done. And I really do feel that he will make an improvement. To what extent, that remains to be seen. But I think he's going to do enough to keep his job here with the Texans, or at least keep his continuity in terms of his career with the NFL.
He's got to stay on the field for one. And number two, Brian always has high hopes, kids. So Brian always, he's Mr. High Hopes.
Oh, don't make me start singing the song.
I was about to say, here
we've got high hopes. KJ, did you hear me? I believe in you, buddy. Let's go.
Just a bit, Whitney Merciless has some praise for some young defensive players. But before we talk about that, let's talk about Vivid Seats. Hey, look, the Hall of Fame game between the Bears and Ravens is next Thursday. It's almost here. That means the NFL regular season right around the corner. It's almost here as well this season. Don't sit around watching the Texans from home when you can be at NRG Stadium cheering in person thanks to Vivid Seats. They offer great prices for NFL games and all live events. And Vivid Seats is offering Locked On Texans listeners 10% off your first ticket order when you use our exclusive promo code Locked On. So that means you get a great value by listening to us. Locked On, it's just one word. Locked On, you know how to spell that. This is for new customers only and only good through the end of August. Preseason and regular season tickets are available right now as we speak. The Texans kick off their home schedule September 23rd. So we're still a little ways away, but not too far, against the Giants. And you can be there for all the excitement. Vivid Seats puts you there. All Vivid Seats confirmed orders are backed by a 100% guarantee. Go to vividseats.com or download the app and enter promo code LOCKEDON for 10% off your first order. The offseason is over, baby. NFL is back, and Vivid Seats wants to help you get into the game. So Brian Whitney Merciless threw around some praise for a few of the young defensive players. Geez, I wonder who he's going to talk about. Here's what he had to say.
Reed is doing really, really well. I like him. He's instinctive. Smart player as well, too. Dylan Cole, Zach has been coming along. He's still a rookie in my mind. So those guys, those young guys are really starting to come along and starting to really get it. Also Bellamy and Duke, PK, they're all doing a great job at the outside linebacker position, and I'm very impressed. They're way ahead of the curve versus a lot of guys that I've seen in my career.
That was Whitney Merciless, and he threw out a ton of names in there, Brian. You got to feel good when Whitney's got that many good words to say about so many guys.
Absolutely. Yeah, he talked about most of the guys I expected to do well in camp, like Justin Reed. That guy's going to be a surefire hit in terms of performance, right out of the draft. He's going to get immediate play in time, and he'll make an immediate impact. Dylan Cole, good to hear about him, that he continues to improve. But he's a bruiser. He's going to go out there, just that status of him being an underdog. He still feels that he's that guy. He's going to feel that way until he's, in the conversation among linebackers that are on the regular. Hopefully, in the future, maybe he can be a Pro Bowler. Who knows? Zach Cunningham, to be expected. But the interesting names that he brought out was Bellamy, which was, he's an undrafted free agent. That's good to hear, because you want some of these undrafted guys to make the team. Yeah, you have an idea of who's likely going to do so. I mean, the wide receiver from Limestone, that, we're looking at that guy as well. And Duke Ejiofor, fifth round pick. And he talked about Peter Kalambai. So I guess they call it PK because Kalambai just takes too long to say. That guy, I would say he is on the edge of making the team. But if he can perform well in camp, yeah, he's got a spot. And, you just want smart guys like Peter on the team. And he'll be able to go under the wing of Whitney Merciless. So that way he is at his utmost, the best that he possibly can be. Who knows? We may need him later down the line.
Yeah, Devin Bellamy is the guy that he's talking about, undrafted guy out of Georgia. If you guys forgot, or if you haven't been doing your in-depth, deep-dive research into the Texans, he's from Georgia, like I said, the University of Georgia, Bulldog, totally undrafted, 6'5". He's a big guy, Brian, for a linebacker. I mean, linebackers are big, but 6'5", man, that's a, defensive lineman, you see him that size, not so much linebackers usually.
Yeah, absolutely. And, we certainly want to look at, the other guy I was talking about was Vincent Smith. Yeah, I just couldn't. It was right off the top of my head, but it all came back to me. So, those are guys. How about Jester Wee? Just to see how he makes it. And how about Jones Smith, an offensive lineman? Is he going to be able to make the team as well? Both guys out of Pitt as well. So, who knows? But that's good he mentioned an undrafted guy because, you really appreciate those guys in terms of not being drafted, but yet they want to give it their all to try to make the team. Lest we not forget, our own cornerback, A.J. Bouye. He was undrafted, and look what he's doing now with the Jaguars. He could still be here, but that's another story. We talked about that. We probably should have been able to keep him, but look at the success that he's having right now.
Yeah, Bellamy, he was a key reserve to starter late in his sophomore season for the Bulldogs. He started 14 of 15 games, 34 tackles, 7.5 for loss. It gets better in his junior year. He plays all 13 games, starting 11 at outside linebacker, 51 tackles, 9 for loss, 5 sacks, team leading 17 quarterback hurries. So he can get some pressure on the starting quarterback. And he had started in, you know, that sophomore season ended prematurely for him, I should say. Bellamy suffered a knee injury during bowl practice. So he's had a little injury stuff to deal with in the course of his career. Maybe that affected his draft status a little bit. But Bellamy, maybe a guy to keep your eye on if you believe what Whitney Merciless has to say about him. Brian, yeah. Typically OB doesn't have much good to say about Texans rookies. I'm talking about O'Brien, that is. But this is what he had to say about tight end Jordan Thomas Tuesday. And I'm quoting here. He's actually done a decent job blocking relative to being a young player, better than I thought he would do. If he can keep improving in that area, and he's good in the passing game, I really like what we've got there. And you just don't hear OB throwing around compliments like ice cream cones. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly. He rarely does give a compliment. I mean, if he does, obviously you've done something that's awakened him and opened up his eyes in terms of performance, because he always feels that you could always do better than what you're doing.
And the question was, could he block? I mean, he didn't do a whole lot of tight end in college, and that's what we need to find out about him.
Huge, huge tight end. Even played wide receiver. Man, this guy is just incredible of an athlete, you know, and you wonder, you know, with him being such a late pick, that if he has a shot to be the starter. I'm telling you, the tight end position is wide open. You know, there's reports of Ryan Griffin, you know, he's screwing up and he's not necessarily, he's getting yelled at by his teammates and whatnot. But, you know, if one of these other guys, the Jordans, can get it right, somebody can slide right into that position. Now, Ryan Griffin is locked up. You know, he does have, a three-year deal, and this is, what, year two. But, hey, I mean, it's all about what have you done for me lately. And if these guys can show that, I would love to see a splash. I would love to see a spark at the tight end position, because I am not satisfied with what I'm seeing.
Anything caught your eye about the Texans over the last few days? Anything we haven't discussed?
Well, you know what? Off season, you know, last training camp, you know, J.J. Watt and some of the other defensive guys, they would play four square in their free time just to kind of blow off steam. Now they're playing soccer golf, which I guess the concept is you kick the ball to a certain point and then you go to that point and you keep kicking it some more. So not only keeps you in shape, but it just keeps your legs nice and stretched out and loose and whatnot. So it's a great way to blow off steam, but they are playing soccer golf, with the latest report from the Chronicle's Aaron Wilson, who's doing a terrific job, by the way, over there. So that's interesting. And I would love to play a game like that someday, because you see all kinds of concepts of golf where, you know, you're out in the park and you see people who – I forget the name of what that they have it in parks where you could just go to different areas and then you just tee off from there. It's not really a golf course, but it's a certain kind of golf. But it is just so many different ways you can, you know, have a variation of sports to keep yourself in great shape and to keep yourself loose and to keep yourself from, you know, getting to a point where you're just stressed out. That's a great way to blow off steam.
Do you know how to play four square? I don't know. I don't know how to do this.
I have no idea. I know how to operate four square. I mean, is four square still a thing? Like on our apps, I remember we could check in on four square, you know, whenever we're somewhere, just to let everybody know that we're there. You know, that's the first thing I thought about. I was like, four square. I mean, what were they talking about? The app, the location app that tells people where you're at or whatnot. But no. Yeah, I would love to play. It sounds like it's a fun game. It really is.
I feel so unhip when I hear about what the Texans are doing to kill time in training. I was like, am I lost? Am I not, am I not in the loop with all this stuff? But good for them. Hey, we got to finish things off on this one in a little bit. We got a few more things to talk about, so don't go anywhere, because if you're enjoying Locked On Texans, we want you to tell your friends. Let them know they can find us on iTunes, Spotify, most anywhere you're going to find your favorite podcast. Please share the links to our show with your followers on social media so we can bring more people to the party. We also want your voice to be a part of the conversation. So email us at LockedOnTexans@mail.com for questions or comments. That's LockedOnTexans@mail.com. Yesterday, I had a fun conversation with Texans superfan Joey Uribe, Brian, about his visit to the Greenbrier. And it was great to talk with Joey. Hello, Joey. I know you're out there listening. You liked that conversation, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. And he just provided a great account of what he went through with training camp. It's always good to get that perspective. And, you know, if I don't get to make it out this year, I'm definitely going to be there next year at the Greenbrier because I need to see, you know, what the experience is like up there. But he painted a terrific picture. He talked about, you know, just, you know, finding a hotel room, finding accommodations. He was able to find something very affordable, and he was able to, you know, go up there and take in the experience. You asked some terrific questions, Rob, in regard to how many people were there. And it sounds like to me that regardless, you know, with the training camp, you know, that far away, but still a lot of fans went to go and attend camp. And keep in mind that you just have a lot of fans of Deshaun Watson, period. So wherever he is, they're going to follow him. So Texans were knowing what they were doing when they put training camp over there. They're still going to have a lot of people that are going to be able to watch them play. Just love the great things he said about the show. You know, yeah, Joey, we work really hard, you know, 5 days a week to give you the coverage that you deserve, to try to provide angles that haven't been covered before, and to throw in a little opinion in there. We report the facts, but yet we want to put our opinion in there just to let you know how we feel, because I think you deserve to hear what we have to say, and not just what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. And that's what it's all about here at Locked On Texans. So terrific descriptions of what's going on. And he was also complimentary of Jordan Thomas, by the way. We talked about Bill O'Brien earlier in the previous segment about how well he played. Well, Joey said the same thing, that they're really getting him going. So if Joey's seeing it, Bill O'Brien's seeing it, then obviously this kid's clicking.
The Texans are not going to be bringing in any domestic abusers. And I just, you know, want to say, Brian, that's the one thing I really do respect from Bob McNair. We've talked about it in the show before, but didn't like what the Astros did. It hurt me as a fan of the Astros. It hurt me as somebody that, you know, covers that team. It's frustrating, but, you know, the Texans, that's not going to happen. You are in a safe space here with Locked On Texans for that.
Right. Right. Yeah, I kind of question the move as well for the Astros, but obviously they did their homework and they properly vetted the right people. I believe Jeff Lunau, as soon as they were about to do the deal, he had requested to speak to Roberto Osuna directly. And obviously the conversation, he said, was enlightening, and he didn't discuss the details of the conversation. But I'm all about second chances. But again, if we hear any additional incidents of domestic violence, then he needs his contract needs to be terminated, and he needs to have the cuffs put on him and thrown in jail as quick as he had the first time, whenever this happened back in May.
Well, it's still going to trial, man. And you know, the Astros can vet all they want. You can say they vetted, but Major League Baseball vetted and more than doubled the suspension that they gave Aroldis Chapman, which what he did was not good, choking his girlfriend and taking a gun and shooting at her and stuff like that. I mean, you know, I have a lot of opinions about it. Please go to my Houston Sports Talk podcast. I talk with Sean Bajani, Sports Radio 610. Go check that out. Brian's got even more opinions if you go to houseofhouston.com, of course, a fan site affiliate. You know, I know people, you know, have their thoughts and whatever. I don't want to get too much into that, but I just want to point it out the fact that the Texans, that stuff, we're not going to have the debate with the Texans because it's not going to happen here. And that's one thing that I'm very, very glad about. The Locked On Network, by the way, we're up to 2.5 million downloads per month. Podcast for nearly every NFL and NBA team. I think there's 80 podcasts we got in total right now. We're adding Major League Baseball and college sports. They're going to be just one on top of the other. So it's lockedonsports.com is our network website. That's the place to go. That's all we got for this show. We're going to keep it rolling. We got a show for you on Wednesday and Thursday. Keep it tuned in to Locked On Texans. As always, thanks for making us a part of your week.
You are Locked On Texans, your daily Houston Texans podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.